about like, oh, hey, who do you guys think are going to make it to the Final Four? And me and Dean were tossing names back and forward, and Blaine's like, excuse me, where's my name? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, again, it's, and I think the scary thing about Blaine is that he's Mr. Consistent, but he's trending up. Yeah, no, that was the race where the J.W. Miller, Keith, then known as Keith, now William Calhoun rivalry came to, like, its burning point, remember? That's that race. So, a lot of history on that one. A lot of sauce.
Nice. Wow, that's ironic. We've only run this one race one time, and look when it was.
Exactly, pretty much a year to the date. I know I was going to bring it up.
That's
but
crazy. No, it's actually going to be tomorrow 17th. Never mind.
Obviously you bump that day because of the day of the week, but like, yeah, exactly. I mean, talk about, and hi, you're listening to Just Here for the GLSR. My name is Sammy B. I'm one of the admins here and the driver of the 22, and I'm joined by the voice of GLSR. It's
Sleepy Hollow.
Yes. I don't know why. I said GLSR, and then I started doubting it. I'm like, GLSR.
I think
GLSR.
I got it right. So, no. Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Sam. Yes. So we were going to have a full episode, and then my stomach was like, I have other plans. So then I had to pull a rain check on the episode. Chris Evans, have booked for the show for like over a month now. So well, good shot, Chris Evans, I promise. Anyways, we were discussing, and we might as well just get right into, well, no, we should talk about Michigan. Michigan race, say it again?
It was a good bounce back.
Yeah, we needed it. I feel like, now, this was something I sent to you, and I hope you had the chance to read it. I sent you in a message. I had posted a poll just because I was at work just thinking about it. And, you know, when you think about NASCAR, and obviously you want to win the Phoenix race because that's the championship race. But there are other races outside of that that hold just as much, if not more, gravity as an individual event. So I posted a poll in the league voting about what do you think is the true, like, outside of the championship race, what is the most coveted trophy in the GSLR cabinet? Now, we are pretty notorious for rotating our schedule in and out of different tracks, but we do have one that stands head and shoulders over the others as probably the biggest crown jewel race in GLSR, is the only track we've run every season. It's the Prehistoric Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also curious what you thought about, like, are there other races that we run that have that same level of, like, we talked, like, someone tossed out, I think it was Sean, who said we should actually come up with like a triple crown prize, like, if, you know, someone wins three of the marquee big time GLSR races, they get like a bonus or something. But like, are there any other races that are even like close to that?
Chicago.
I mean, yeah,
the final race of the season. I mean, you're going out and you've got four guys the last two seasons racing for a championship. And, you know, it's come down to winning the race to win the thing, just like in real life. I think the prestige for that race, it's the longest race of the season. Though technically the mileage on the race, I always joke on the broadcast about it, about you guys actually making 168 laps, which is like, I think 251.5 or something like that. But anyways, I digress. So longest race of the season. You always got to strategize because there's multiple pit stops without tires. So you got to learn how to run double stints on tires. Obviously the track, I mean, last year we had your high school buddy do the national anthem and did a phenomenal job. Just the prestige of that race. I mean, the sponsorship being there. I mean, the race is so big. We're moving it to another day and broadcasting it on the big screens of Black Horizon Brewery and just outside Chicago there. Big shout out to them. And, you know, doing this. So I think easily Chicago's that race that runs right up next to Michigan.
Yeah, but then I'm trying to think what makes it the triple of the crown, because it's like a lot of people voted for the Dega Dash, because that is a, you know, like that was the first track we ever ran on in this league. It's the super speedway we've run more. I feel like if we would have run it only at Eldora, I feel like the Dirt Derby would be up there, but because we've changed it around, it doesn't hold as much much mystic quality. I think Indianapolis could get there, but it is a bit of a weird spot being the race before the championship race. It's hard to have that also carry a lot of, you know, glitter and glamour. So yeah, I don't know. It was something I thought about, like what are the big time races, because really the Prehistoric Forest and the finale at Chicagoland are the ones that are pretty much head and shoulders over the rest.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So the Prehistoric Forest that we ran, it was funny because it was brought up in the messages, and then you brought it up in the broadcast that you were like, oh, well, the last times we've, you know, run the Prehistoric Forest, there's almost always a caution within the first 10 laps.
Actually, I can't take credit for that. That actually goes to, of course, I'm going to forget his name in my head all of a sudden, Ben Pierce.
That's right. That was Ben. Mm-hmm. But that fact was in the back of my mind when we were going. Because it was just kind of like this feeling of, okay, where's it coming? And again, this is our largest field I think we've had on that track so far, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by far. And
I was just, there was definitely this moment of, okay, it's going to happen any minute now. And it didn't. It didn't for a while. Well, there never really was a big one. Yeah, we did have the very rare competition caution come out, but I mean, more like all the accidents that happened in this race, none of them were egregious or crazy. It was just a lot of close racing that almost got too close. I feel like there was a lot of weird, I don't even know what you call it, like negative pressure effects that when trucks get almost close enough, they just like right up on each other. So, yeah, I mean, solid. I mean, the Prehistoric Forest almost always is a crazy race. I mean, talk about tire strategy coming around to work. I don't think Dylan Parker would have had that strategy work out nearly as perfect as he did. Not to say he didn't race a good race. Of course he did. He won the race, but he definitely had that one pretty easily in his pocket, but that was due to him making a bolder early strategy call. Now, what was your thoughts on that?
Well, it's actually a strategy that I kind of played with the guys of mine, actually, throughout that race. And I went back to previous races, and the winning strategy, it seemed like, and I go back to I remember the first year was to take no tires in the first pit stop. And then usually you took pit stop tires the rest of the way. Now the caution didn't fall, and it kind of almost put it to a spot to where everybody who did that strategy was in a really bad spot. But then another caution came out, and I think we had three in the end, if I remember correctly, three or four. And the strategy came right into play to where, believe it or not, for the first time in the history of my broadcast, I actually muted myself and muted the race, jumped down into the channel of the team, and I said, hey, did you guys do what I said? True story. And because my first thought was, oh gosh, Alfin and or Bryce had an actual legit shot to jump up to the front and lead this race and win the thing potentially and get them both into the playoffs. And the words I hear are, yeah, I took two. I look over and it was Brandon. And I'm like, you did what? And then I jump back on the air, obviously. And as you saw later in the race, Brandon obviously fell back. And look who finished second and third. Cam and Tim, who stayed on the whole tire strategy with Dylan, which was, you know, interesting enough in itself. But, you know, it was a bold strategy. But and the only reason I think in the past that that strategy won those races because of the way the cautions fell in those other races. I didn't take into account that we were going to go green to lap 50, and you could make it if you did it smart enough to lap 50 on one stop. And when that happened, I thought it backfired on everybody who pulled that strategy, but then the cautions worked out and it ended up paying off in the end, like I said there before. Now, I think I think if there were earlier cautions, it really puts that strategy into play. But, you know, it didn't work out, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it was a weird race, definitely. Not even weird. It was just, I think I was so ready for, you know, some bigger accidents. They did come, but they were all very controlled, small incidents that were only like one or two trucks were actually like losing speed or needing to pit after the yellows. So, no, great win by Dylan there. He's hot right now, and a great tire strategy. I think the standouts that still click in my mind is Alan Best, fourth place finish. That yes. guy seems to job. You know, the local seems to know the track very well. Okay, Jason Clark in 10th.
Yes.
Jason, I was blown away when I'm like, hold on, wait, what? Because I couldn't keep up with anyone. I had damage, and it didn't matter. I was lucky to not get bulldozed. I think I was going into turn four, and we were like four wide because everyone was trying to dive on the inside of me. But like, holy crap, Jason with a top 10, super super happy for him. And then who else had a really really good race? I'm looking for it.
So you're gonna make me look real quick, aren't you?
No, I just can't read. Well, they didn't fit. He finished behind me, but he ran strong all day, and I just wanted to shout him out. It was Drift. I thought Drift looked great out there, and it's a yeah. shame that he ended up finishing 23rd. I don't know what happened there. I can't remember. But he was running solid all day in that Black Horizon Mission 22 throwback paint. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was definitely some.
Lucas Strayer.
That's another
Lucas
great
was up
one.
There for a while, and he. Got involved in an incident late in that race. Telder ran well. He finished 13th in that race. Blaine being Blaine. Enough said there. Tim Abril, Cam Ingram, Alan Best. I mean, outside of Parker, that top five right there, if you predict that in a fantasy league, you need to go buy a lottery ticket right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we're about to transition into some playoff gateway discussion talk, but the tragedy, you know, the tragedy of the season, it did not come together for this guy. Chris Dean will miss the playoffs, and that was just didn't come together. I think his race was in a very tight spot when he took a little light damage mm-hmm. early on in the race, and then there was one time he tried to go on like an opposite strategy and pit really early, not really early, earlier than everyone else to try and just force a different strategy and sped in the pit lane. I know exactly how that one goes. So, no, tough break for the Black Horizon 48, considering he was one of the stalwart drivers of the season who I thought was looking real good. So, tough break for the Dean machine. We'll see how he comes back in season six.
And, of course, there's going to be a lot of talk in that, too, because, I mean, one race obviously doesn't make everything either for his run, but yeah. You know, you look at the man, he's had his best season. He has two wins. He's already tripled his win total or doubled his win total from last season or from previous seasons. So he's had his best you know, run so far. So when you look at it, you know, I know deep down inside he's going to be disappointed because he's going to be like, okay, well, I had this bad run at Michigan, but he's going to look back at the two races he missed and the reasons why he missed them that we won't get into detail about. But deep down inside, that's going to be a hard one to swallow for him, because I know there's going to be that part of him that's going to be like, if I don't miss those races because of this, then he's in probably.
Yeah. So, you know, and then there's a lot of guys who are solid names that are outside looking in. I mean, Justin Bondurant, his existence is all about just not having things come together cleanly. I mean, Jason and Brandon, both guys of yours who came on strong late in the season, mm-hmm. but it was just too little too late. JW Miller, similar situation. These are guys who I know have the speed and talent to do really well, and they're going to be battling out for that 11th place spot. So let's talk a little bit about Gateway itself, and then we're going to make our some predictions, because we did this last time around. I want to do it again. We're going to pick out a final four out of our 10. Gateway is honestly one of my favorite tracks, I think, as an oval. Which is weird, because I don't know why. Even when I had no idea what I was doing, like, really, as an oval racer, I clicked with this track. So it's fun. I love how different it is. It feels like a true playoff track. How difficult 1 and 2 is. You got to absolutely stand on the brake into there. I think it's the biggest difference is, and I'm going to see if you're maybe if you remember this or not, I was rewatching our broadcast from the last time we ran, which we said at the beginning of the broadcast was a year ago, basically to the date.
Right.
Exactly. We accidentally clicked unlimited tires for that race.
Mm.
So, you know, I was thinking about who ran really well that day, and it felt like, you know, JW Miller is usually known for being Mr. Long Run, doing a good job saving tires. But like, there were some other guys who are known for being, you know, hot in the trot, who, because they kept having fresh tires, could keep coming back out for more, keep coming back out for more. So obviously the biggest historical moment of when we ran that race last time was when the feud between JW and Calhoun was really hot, and you had that little tiny, I mean, it was barely anything, a tap into one, and that was a crazy race. So I'm hoping, I'm praying, because this track is so great, and it's so fun, and it's so different, and people want more short tracks, and I feel like this is a track that would work so well. I just hope it won't be a disaster. So I've got my fingers crossed real tight.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one, because here's the deal. That race, which you mentioned was ran a year ago, only had 18 racers in it. We're going to double that field come tomorrow night and go out here and run this 1.25-mile egg-shaped flat thingamajig and go out there and put on some good racing, which will include some shifting and side-by-side multi-groove racing. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be all about track position. It's going to be all about pit strategy. It's going to be all about who can put their truck out front and who can you know, potentially either steal a win or get some momentum going in the playoffs. Obviously, you got three chances now to get yourself into that final four. So I think it's going to be a wild one. I think you're going to see some angry drivers tomorrow night. The boxing ring will probably be filled up again. But I think we'll see a good show tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was thinking pretty hard about this. I think this is the most important race of the playoffs, because mm-hmm. Road America, when I feel like with road courses, you very much get out what you put in. And, you know, did you practice? Okay, well, then you're probably going to figure it out. You know, I love Dean's expression, keep it on the island. You know, if you're someone who's just, you know, maybe not even an amazing road racer, decent, you can get around the track, keep it on track. You know, obviously the cream will rise at the top when it comes to that. But like, there's, I don't think there's anything that's going to be too like destabilizing for that race. Indianapolis is Indianapolis, and a lot of people, I think, have run it. We've done it a few times now. We know what Indianapolis is. Gateway is going to be the most dangerous race.
Right.
The most stressful race, and sets the tone for the rest. You know, if you have a bad Gateway, you now have to dig yourself out of the hole at Road America and Indianapolis, which, depending on who you are, might be a really tall order. So no, this is going to be the most important race of the playoffs, bar none. So I'm excited. I'm nervous because I don't know what that means. I don't know what people are going to be pushed to do in this race.
I there's no telling. And I think like every other race that we've had in this series, it's going to be unpredictable. It's going to be wild. I can take you up on your biggest race, because I think it's going to carry momentum and you're going to see people have to catch up. But I think when we get into talking about who's going to win these races and who we think is going to win the championship and stuff here in a minute, then I think it could start tomorrow night.
Yeah, this is literally going to be, again,
Wednesday night, I should say.
Yes. This is going to be the gateway to the playoffs, literally. I know it's, you know, but I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know who's going to drop the ball. I don't know who's going to, and there are so many things that are even out of control. Cause again, you've got that 1-2 turn, that turn 2 wall will eat you. Turn 3-4, those rumble strips on the inside will eat you. And then there's walls on both sides. And all of a sudden you're just trying to run a calm, clean race and they're ping ponging everywhere. This is going to be a race of, I pray that at least in the first 25% of the race, I mean, in the early stage of the race, you're going to see solid racing. It's going to be when the tires start falling off when you really will notice it. Cause I feel like I don't want to jinx the league, but the first accident is going to come off of someone going too hot into one. That was how the first caution came out when we ran it last time. It was going to be our guests, Chris Evans and Tanner Long, came together, and it was the lightest little tap. Just someone, I'm trying to remember now. I want to say it was Tanner Long came in too hot on Chris Evans, or it could have been the other way around. It does not take much to upset a truck, even if you keep it clean in turns one and two. And there just ain't a lot of room to move. So, and it's fast. So I'm excited, but I'm nervous. But I feel that way every time we run a shorter track race. But hey, we've had good races at Richmond and other shorter-esque tracks. So, okay. We're going to talk about our playoff drivers. I'd like to at least have a short little blurb about each guy, and then we'll each toss out our four. Starting at 10, Clark Genegan. He might be the one I cannot feel out the most on this list, because I feel like everyone else I've seen them, and like, I know Clark's won a race, like I'm not taking that away from him, but he's someone who I feel like has suffered from a bit of Zach Amanitis, where if there's trouble, he's probably in it or in someone else's. Let me see. How many incident points does he have? I'm going to look that up now. He has 45, which is not exceptional, but it's not the lowest, you know. Compare that to Blaine at 33, J.W. Miller at 18. So, you know, somewhere in the middle. But like, I cannot gauge him. And I know he actually, I think, just won a championship in a different league. So I know he's fast. We knew that. It's just, will he be fast here?
What if I told you at one point Clark Genegan was down near last in the point standings when we left Homestead?
Well, that would, I guess, again, I shouldn't be too surprised because I know he is very talented.
He was 31st at Auto Club, 32nd at Homestead, 21st at Charlotte. So after three races, he was likely somewhere in the range of probably 30th in points. And seven races later, made it to the top 10.
Well, I'm looking at his finishes, and I've been Twin Ring Oval. That's a flat oval track.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville Super Speedway, one. So, I mean, that bodes well for maybe him being good at, like, Gateway and, in turn, Indianapolis, because those are, I would say, the two closest doppelganger tracks to that. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think he might be my biggest wild card where I can't place where I think he's going to land.
I agree on that.
All right. Cody Beatty is next. Cody Beatty.
Cody.
This is last year's Indianapolis winner, so we know he can win. We know he's got the, at least, you know, granted strategy came into that, but you still got to be able to make that strategy. Michigan was off the pace for him. 24th at Michigan. That's the first time in four races he wasn't in the top 10. He's not an exceptional road racer from what I can recall. Finished 26th at Twin Ring Grand Prix. So I would say for him, he is someone who could definitely pick up the pieces, but I'm not sure. I could see him having a really strong run, but I don't see him being top four. I could see him ending up like 6th, 5th.
I think Cody can consistently run his way into the top four. I mean, when you look at his two worst finishes, 26th and 24th, he's got an 8th, a 6th, a 7th, a 6th, an 8th, and a couple of 11th, 13th, and 16th scattered in there. He could come in to this weekend at Gateway, finish top 10, then go to Road America, which a lot of us know that track. He could just keep it on the track, finish top 15, and then go into Indianapolis and steal the race again, and all of a sudden sneak into the top four. He's one of those that could sneak his way in.
We're definitely going to have to see. I'm still going to put respect in his name, so, you know, I got to take that one back. But he wouldn't be the first. He wouldn't be on my first list for a top four finisher, but I guess I need to ponder that for the few more people we talk about. Next on the list is confusing. Zach Ammann sits currently 8th in points, and I'm looking at his results, and he has not finished above 7th the entire season. This is, I think, there might be a little bit of a number curse going on here. He ran 18, he was a dominating force, switched to 54, and we've lost Zach Ammann.
Zach Ammann's the defending winner of this Gateway race that he won a season ago. Now,
he's always been good on flat tracks.
Correct. But you go back to season 3. You know, he won season 2's championship, and then season 3, it took him an awful while to get going again. And in season 4, of course, he had his big time season, and here season 5, now he's struggling again. I think there's a lot of aggression in him right now. And what I mean by the word aggression is I think he is, I don't want to use the word desperation here.
No, that was the word I was thinking.
He has struggled so badly this season that I think he's to a point where he's almost trying too hard now to fix it. When I think he almost needs to take a step back and say, let's just go out here and finish 10th this week. Let's go finish in the top 10. If he can take a step back, if he can learn to do this in about 22 hours, learn to step back and say, hey, you know what, tonight at Gateway, yes, I led some laps, that'd be cool, and I finished top 10 tonight. I took a 6th place finish. If he could go do something like that in Wednesday night's race, then I could tell you comfortably that I think he makes the final four. But right now, the Zach Ammann I'm seeing, there's no way he's making a final four.
Yeah, I mean, he needs a mental shift. And I know it's tough. Mentality is... That has been my struggle all season. And I get it where you could struggle from that point. I mean, I'm looking at records. Every single record is led by Zach Ammann. Yeah. Bonus points acquired, total points acquired, number of poles, number of wins, laps led, all are led by Zach Allman. He's got it in him, and I think the second you just, you know, I don't know if one of those things when you kind of get out of your groove, you just can't find it again. I mean, I feel like I've heard the expression, once you get your first win, the second comes easy.
Has Dylan Park?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like he has not had his win this season. And you talk about desperation. The incident points reflect that. He's got 104 incident points. I know a lot of people don't give him a lot of room, but they also are going to race him extra hard because he's been historically a driver of high accolade. So he, to make the final four, he needs to, like you said, to go forward, he needs to take a step back. So I don't know. We'll see what happens to him. But at least at right now, I definitely don't have him in my final four. But we shall see. Next on the list, Sean Peachin. And he, in my opinion, is the one to watch this offseason, or this offseason playoffs. Why? All Sean's got to do, keep her on the island this race. I know he's quick. I've practiced a little bit with him. He doesn't need to try and reinvent the wheel on this one. Put in a solid top 10, top 5, bring her home. And then I think this guy's going to be scary for the next few weeks. He's proven to be a road course racer. And he is the borderline king of Indianapolis. He's had bad luck because his name is Sean Peachin. But if he can get that train rolling, I think Sean is the scariest person on this whole list.
And I think that's accurate. I'm kind of intrigued about what you just said. Now, he has made it well known to me. And I deserve every piece of it. I was totally wrong last week when I said that he would fall out. He came back. He ran a very non-Sean Peachin race, and he even admitted it.
And he called it a Blaine Sparling race and said it was boring. Blaine
Sparling race, right, which is fair. And he finished 12th, and he made it in. Now, last season, you made a bold prediction.
I did.
And you ran really well with it. So I'm going to make a bold prediction.
All right.
This right here is a Final Four driver. And I think potentially your playoff winner right here.
Yeah, I mean.
And let me explain why.
All right.
He's going to come out of Gateway. He's going to have the momentum of being in here, and he's going to feel like nobody respects him, and he's going to probably feel the same way about me. I think Gateway is going to come out running well. I think he's going to walk out of here with a top five finish tomorrow night, Wednesday night. You mentioned road course. Road America, he's going to run well. Indianapolis is the one track he feels owes him one. He's from that area. He's going to win Indianapolis this season. He's going to go to Chicago as the hottest driver in this league. And he is going to be the champion of season 5.
All right. That is a hot claim for the Detroit Hellfire truck. So we'll have to see. And now I feel like no matter what, when we bring up Sean, it's going to be, oh, we're cursing Sean. But, you know, hey, you can't have it both ways.
Only a curse if you believe it.
So we're gonna have to see. I'm excited to see what the 21 truck can do this playoffs. Now, Dane Cruz. Dane Cruz is in the same category as Clark Genigan, where I'm like, I don't know where he's at this season, because he's either scary or just like, where did he go? Like, I don't know. I gotta look at his results. Pulling him up now. I mean, he's been in the solid middle ground. Not a road course racer. 31st at Grand Prix. That'll be a hole he'll have to dig out of or find something new inside of him for Road America. But I mean, keep around the island, run strong in Gateway and Indianapolis. He could be Final Four, but he's just gotta you know, the only race he didn't really run super well at was Rockingham, 22nd, Homestead, 16th, but that's not bad. I don't know. I think Dane is a question mark driver for me.
I have not seen I haven't seen Dane that we saw last season. Charlotte, we saw him. And maybe a little bit Twin Ring Motegi. Lucas Oil, I mean, it's one of those, if you survived, you got a good finish. So I don't want to disrespect that race much, but let's face it, you survived, you finished, you got a good finish. I don't see Dane Cruz this season as a Final Four driver. He just hasn't. None of the PPM drivers really this season, outside of Caden, and at times Noah. I've seen his that thing that Noah can do, but Noah unfortunately is not in the playoffs. Caden has been the best driver on this team this season. Period.
Yeah, I mean it's going. I feel like it's interesting with the addition of Dylan and Clark. I know they are, like, you know, again, the peak performance. You know, this is like, you know, sure, you have Joe Gibbs Racing, and then you have, you know, 2311, or you have, you know, Penske and the Wood Brothers. Like, they are the sort of the additional, but the same. I feel like with the addition of those guys, I feel like, I don't want to call it the dynamic is off, but I don't feel like now they're, maybe it's just more voices in the chat. Maybe they're more distracted. I don't know. They are not the focus group that they were the season before. I know there's probably still leading points totals for teams. I'm going to need to look that up now, but they are not invincible right now. I feel like, and we're going to get to this, the sleeper team and drivers that I was going to suggest for people to watch out for this off season. KJD2 is this assassin. Jason Dalton and Sam Fontaine, and I'm not trying to lump them together, but we'll just talk about Jason, but, you know, both of them. They're, again, 4-5. They're hovering in that middle of the playoff group. Sam Fontaine got the win at the Motegi circuit, the Grand Prix. But Jason is one to watch. He had a tough Michigan. He's either hot or cold. I mean, 21st Michigan, 3rd Lucas, 2nd Nashville, 12th at Rockingham, 19th at Twin Ring Grand Prix. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, 2nd at Charlotte. I feel like Jason could sneak in under the radar and has done it before. I mean, I remember he's been in a lot of close finishes. So I feel like KJD2 as a whole are stealthy and need to be watched, because I could see them surprising people.
It's a very underrated team here. I just actually broadcasted a race earlier tonight and watched 3 of the 4 guys run up in the top 3 the whole entire time and pretty much dominate that race. So, I mean, I've seen this. The talent of this team is phenomenal, and they work well together too. Jason is, you know, I look at the finishes, it's not been the most consistent season. He's not had the best luck, but he's done a good job getting himself up here to 5th. I mean, obviously his worst finish is 25th at Auto Club, but he also has a 23rd. He also has a 21st last week. So he's had some rough finishes. I think he's going to need to run like he did at Nashville, Lucas Oil Raceway, maybe Rockingham, Charlotte. He's going to need those kind of finishes to get himself into the Final Four. Unfortunately, though, I see, as you see, we got too many fish eating for 4 spots. So with that, I don't see Jason, unfortunately, being a Final Four this season the way he's ran. But again, in Sean's part, man, I hope he proves me wrong.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think that goes for both of them. I think Sam Fontaine will be one to watch at the road course. I mean, he was our road course winner. Beyond that, he's been hot and cold. I mean, 26th Michigan, 21st Lucas, 2nd Eldora, 5th at Nashville, 26th Rockingham. So he's usually hitting high or low. So it really depends on if they're firing on all cylinders. I think both of them are calipered top four drivers. Mm-hmm. If things fall apart, we'll see. I think Sam's, with his road course driving, going to be more advantageous than Jason, but I would not sleep on either of them. So number three and the points right now is the hottest driver in GLSR. It's Dylan Parker. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, I think he's arriving to the party late. I expected this form for Dylan Parker race one. And I don't know if he just needed to get into a groove. I don't know if he just, I'm not sure what it is, but I mean, he Homestead 28th, Twin Ring Oval 26th, Twin Ring Grand Prix 23rd, all of a sudden, boom, 3rd Rockingham, 32nd Nashville Super Speedway, 4th Eldora, 1st Lucas Oil, 1st Michigan. So, I feel like he's got the momentum, but like when things go wrong for Dylan Parker.
And they were wrong at the beginning of the season, as he had no luck. I mean, but he is definitely getting hot here at the right time. As you mentioned, three straight top fives, four out of his last five finishes. He's been in the top five. He's definitely stepped his game up. And this right here, I think, is a final four driver. He has got the momentum going. He's going to Gateway that I think is going to be a phenomenal track for him. The road course, I'm a little about. But he did win the pole at the Grand Prix. So I think this guy easily here is a final four driver. And you mentioned Sam. I think Sam, he's coming off a little bit of a rough streak right now, where he's not had the best finishes these last few races. So I don't know. Sam's going to be a tough one. He's got the talent to easily turn that switch on and go, especially at Gateway this week, and then going to the road course where he won at earlier this season. So I think Sam's got a shot at it. I don't see it happening. Dylan, on the other hand, this guy's a final four driver.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to at the very end of this, we're going to make our four, but I agree on that one. So now we get to the final two, and I don't know why it's a surprise, because I was jokingly talking in the Down Under racing chat about like, oh, hey, who do you guys think are going to make it to the final four? And me and Dean were tossing names back and forward, and Blaine's like, excuse me, where's my name? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, again, it's, and I think the scary thing about Blaine is that he's Mr. Consistent, but he's trending up. I know he just ran a different league and took second in a race, an oval race. I forgot which track it was. But this is a guy who, again, we talk about year ago, he was running, in that race and did fine at Gateway. He was not a guy shaking the world. Blaine has only had one race result start with the number two, and that was that freak start at Nashville. Mm-hmm. Every other race has started with a one or is a single digit. 8th Auto Club, 12th Homestead Miami, 4th Charlotte, 11th Twin Ring Oval. Second Twin Ring Grand Prix, he was fighting hard with Sam Fontaine, just didn't have everything there at the end. 18th at Rockingham, he told me up front he never liked that track. 26th at Nashville, just bad luck. 10th at Eldora, 5th at Lucas Oil, 9th at Michigan. He did it last season where he just put in the time and made it, and then he ran strong at Chicagoland. It's like, I feel like it's bad, because it's like, it's easy to like hype up someone who's like, oh, the big finish. But Blaine is always there. His sixth sense is uncanny. I don't know how he does it.
Here's the thing that I find interesting is I look at the top 10 drivers. The consistency we preach about in this series is a range from like second or third or fourth all the way down to 20th. you look at like real NASCAR, it takes like finishing top five almost every week to get into the playoffs, or top 10 or whatever. We're here, it's such a wider range of drivers. Like this year is like one of our more consistent finishers, as you said, and you've thrown 18th in there, 10th, mm-hmm. and 11th, the 12th. It's like, you know, it's not as consistent as you would see, but it is consistent. Blaine's got a little bit of a battle here, though. We've got a list of drivers in this series that is competitive. The problem we have right now is we're sitting at the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs right now. And a lot of the better drivers that have shown up to win and that are winning races right now are below Blaine Sparling. I think, unfortunately, the consistency is only going to help so much right now in this run. And I really think he is going to have to win a race in these next four and probably run consistently in the top 10. Now he has a 10th, a 5th, and a 9th his last three, so he can do it. I think he's going to have to repeat for the next four, doing the same thing, and I think he's going to have to win. And that win would be Road America, if I had to guess anywhere.
I mean, he's got the skills to do it, absolutely. Right.
So I think he would have to win a race to be in the final four.
When I talked about the importance of Gateway, this is what I mean, especially because he hasn't told me his lap times, but I don't think Blaine could pace his way in if everyone survives Gateway. Again, Blaine's skill is survive at all costs.
Right.
It's why it's how he wins. It's excuse me. It's and Sean even joked about it. It's not the most exciting way to go out and do it. But he does it and he wins and he's our champion from last season. Like, you can't take any of that away. Wins as in, you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of hungry drivers sitting behind him. So, yeah, I think it's going to take a dub at Road America and him absolutely nailing strategies on the other two races. So, number one, Caden Atkins. Gotta say, I feel like Caden is, I mean, Noah is quieter, but he's still a captain of PPM, so like we hear from him. Caden is sort of the silent attacker. Like I can't think of, Caden doesn't ruffle a lot of feathers, at least from what I can remember. I mean, he has the win at Twin Ring Oval. Otherwise, pretty solid finishes overall. Third at Homestead, second Rockingham, and then, you know, only bad races was Charlotte and Lucas Oil. Beyond that, they're all, he has, again, the most top tens. He's kind of, Caden is having a Blaine Sparling season, except he got a win. Like, that's their peas in a pod. You know, both have three top fives. He has seven top tens. Blaine has six. Is Caden also kind of in that same spot of he's going to have to really go above and beyond to make it in despite being our number one seed? Or do you think he can hold on to that lead and be in the final four?
I think so. I think that's 100% accurate. I look at, if I'm bring basketball into this for a second. When you look at the March tournament, you always have that one bracket that has like a top seed or a big time seed being like a school that you wouldn't expect to be up there. But then you got like the Dukes, the North Carolinas, the Texases, these big schools. The Kansases and stuff, Stanford could be one, but you know, schools like the big names that sit up in the middle of that bracket that you're like, okay, these guys are coming out as the favorites, not the ones on top. This is that situation here where you have Caden, and it's no disrespect to him, but I don't see Caden as the best driver this year. He's been the most consistent. He won a race at Twin Ring Motegi, but he's also not finished any better than seventh since the second at Rockingham. So again, somebody who's got to go win a race probably in these playoffs, to get himself in. But I don't know. We'll see if he's a Final Four driver to me or not.
All right. Well, I think we've arrived at that time. I know we've each sort of tossed out names as our who we think Final Four would be. Do we need to flip a coin of who's got to go first? I have a coin sitting in front of me.
I have them sitting in front of me. Oh, you have a coin in front of you. Oh,
I do.
Okay,
go
ahead.
I guess we're gonna do this honor system. I'm gonna flip it, and I'm gonna do some Foley work here, and you're gonna tell me heads or tails.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
Ah ha ha ha! All right, you call it out when I flip it. All tails right, and bad. Flipping
tails.
I dropped it really far. It's heads. Okay. Wow. So I don't know what that means. I guess you pick. You get to go first or second.
I get to pick first. All right. My Final Four drivers this season are going to be Dylan Parker. Clark Genican.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Sean Peachin. And Sam Fontaine.
Interesting. And then are you're staying with your prediction of Sean Peachin would be your champion of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, my Final Four would be Dylan Parker, Sam Fontaine. We share those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. Now, let me think about that. Dylan Parker, Sean Peachin. I think who are the best road racers? Cause that road race is really what throws a wrench in it. Yeah. I do feel like I got to put Sam Fontaine in there. So that would be Dylan Fontaine, Peachin. I'm going to say Blaine Sparling. How you can't sleep on the champ, and Blaine has defied odds many times before. I think he's got a unbelievable ability to survive, which is what Gateway requires. He's got incredible road racing experience, so he'll do solid there. And then it just comes down to getting through at Indy. And I think Blaine, ever since he put that championship wreath, theoretically, hypothetically, around his neck, he lifted that championship trophy. I think something shifted in him where he was more like I'm a motorsports driver. Like, I do road racing and oval racing, and I like to do a bunch of different stuff. And I feel like that put a fire and a belief into him, which has just propelled him further. I think it's why he's been doing more other leagues to try and refine his craft. And so I don't think you can sleep on Blaine. And I think that puts like Caden like finishing fifth, because he'll be close. But then the champ four out of that. Well, you already picked Sean, so I'm going to go different. Dylan Parker. I know that's not that sexy of an answer, but it's if I was going to speculate, I think he's on the rise. I'd say Dylan Parker pulls down the championship.
Yeah.
So, all right. Beyond that, we got a lot of awesome throwback paints coming your way. Scala, good luck, because it's basically going to be, hey, there goes Sam Barnes and Sam Barnes. And, oh, there goes Sam Barnes. And, hey, there's Christopher Dean. Wait a minute, that's not Christopher Dean. That's Sam Barnes and Christopher Dean's truck. So good luck, because I think we're going to have three or four different Black Horizon trucks out there from the past.
Wow.
You're going to have to check out the GSLR news tab to see all of them, because there's a few. I actually think we're going to have two different Lucas Josephs in paints, despite him not having raced in this league a little while. He always had good paint schemes. I wonder who made him. anyways, cannot wait for tonight, because this is probably going to come out tomorrow as a recording. So, any other final statements you want to throw out before we get buckled up and ready for some playoff racing?
I just want to see four good races.
Amen to that. All right. Well, just you guys remember, we are here for the GLSR. That didn't work. Oh well.